In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
As we commemorate the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, it's more important than ever to commit ourselves to protecting these basic rights.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens?
Our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law.
She said, "Oh, Reverend, what can I do? My husband has started to drink." And the preacher looked at her and said, "Madam, if I was married to you, I'd start to drink too."
Oh, my.
Washington jet drivers love Issues Etc.
This is one of those things that just weighs upon Christian's mind, especially if he spends any amount of time, any appreciable amount of time, which many Christians do, most do, in fact, all do at one point or another, around people that they know are unbelievers who are not Christians. Well, you know, here we are at work and we're all doing our jobs and he's over at his desk and I know that he's an unbeliever and I'm a Christian. And sooner or later, I know it's my Christian obligation to go over there and say something to him. And if I don't, I'm not the Christian I ought to be. It's not enough for me to sit here and do my work and go home and put in my time. I'm a Christian here. I got to go witness to that guy. I got to go share the faith with that guy. Well, there are a lot of ways that could happen, a lot of ways that could go down. And not all of them would necessarily be conducive to actually sharing the faith. You walk up and start talking about yourself and your own personal experiences. You don't get very close to Jesus in a conversation like that that centers on you. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, the 1st of February. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Jeremy Rohde is going to join us. We'll be talking about sharing the Christian faith for the first half hour or so. A little bit later, Dr. David Stevens, CEO of the Christian Medical Association, going to join us to talk about a new policy announcement by the Obama administration regarding that HHS mandate. It has to do with your religious freedom and with conscience, especially over matters of contraception, some say even of abortion. A little bit of the Issues Etc. comment line, our response to your comments on the Issues Etc. comment line follows that. Pastor William Foy will join us and we'll talk about women in combat in hour two of Issues Etc. And then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Four sound bites that we put together. We play them for you, and then you and your votes determine which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address, @issuesetc, or you can vote in advance for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week at our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/issuesetc, Facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Jeremy Rohde is pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled "Sharing Your Faith Without Being Lame." Jeremy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
What is the biggest misconception among Christians, you think, about sharing the faith?
I think you touched upon it briefly. I think the biggest misconception that most Christians have is they think of evangelism as law, and they think of the Great Commission wrongly as something that must be done, that must be fulfilled. If evangelism is law, then what that means is that you're never going to do it enough, and you're never going to do it the right way. I think people labor under this, and Christians labor under this misconception. You know, you brought up the guy in the cubicle next to you at work. Okay, so the Christian, you know, thinks to himself some thought about evangelism, some thought about sharing his faith. Well, what is that thought? I love this man so much that I want to go over. I love my neighbor so much that I want to go over and share the good news of the gospel with him, that he also might have eternal life. That's not usually the thought. The thought is, well, I'm a Christian, and I suppose I should share the gospel because I have to, and there's this thing called the Great Commission, and it's been laid upon me, and I must be obedient. And we think about evangelism as if it were law, when in fact it's gospel.
So what, just do that again for us, if you would. The difference in the two ways of approaching what is actually the natural outgrowth of being a Christian, and that is sharing the Christian faith. What are the two different ways of looking at it? Is it as simple as have to and, what shall we say, get to?
In a sense, the old Adam in us is a theologian, and the old Adam in us loves the law, and he will grab a hold of the Great Commission and make it a law and make it something he can do to please God. But the problem is he can never fulfill the law. That law always condemns. And I think that's true when we look at evangelism that way. Evangelism needs to be something that's motivated out of our own joy in the gospel, out of the own freedom of our conscience that the gospel has given us, the release from our sins, the new heart and right spirit within us. And as God indeed gives us this new heart and right spirit, we begin to see other people, other sinners, differently. We begin to see them as they are, in bondage to sin and death and Satan. And we begin to look upon them with genuine compassion. We want to find them in their need, in their genuine need. We want to speak a word of truth and love to them in a way that is authentic and real and addresses their issues. All of that only happens when we understand evangelism rightly, that God has evangeled us, and therefore when he has his way with us, then we begin to perceive the others around us differently, and sharing the gospel becomes something natural. I believe that's the way that Christ intends it. The Great Commission is Christ inviting us into this joy, into the joy of his work, into the joy of sharing his gospel. If we find ourselves in a position of forcing ourselves to do it, or awkwardly doing it, or doing it out of a sense of duty or obedience, or I have to, or I must, we need to stop and consider if that's even pleasing to God in itself, if that's not just a slavish obedience to the law, if that's not perceiving his gift of evangelism, this gift, this gospel gift, as if it were law. If our theology is screwed up from the start, then everything we do is thereafter is going to be phony.
You find yourself, and the Christian always does, in those awkward circumstances where the subject is either politics or religion, and we'd rather talk politics than religion, even if it leads to an argument. But all sorts of things could be treated in a conversation like that. You could go into detail on almost any doctrine of the Christian faith, but you say that you ought to lose the forest for the tree. What do you mean by that?
Well, there is certainly a time and a place to confess every aspect of the Christian faith, and that's a point I make in the article. But when it comes, when we care, when we actually love our neighbor and want them to have the joy that we have, the joy of the gospel, it's not a matter of who's right or who's wrong on certain, albeit important parts of the Christian faith, but not the central part of the Christian faith. So, you know, we might get preoccupied fighting with someone over, you know, is it a six-day creation or not? Is marriage only between a man and a woman? You know, we might get hung up on these issues to the detriment of forgetting to actually speak to them the gospel, to actually... we become more preoccupied with winning an argument that even if we do win is immaterial to their salvation. We become more preoccupied with this than actually listening to them, listening to what sins they are suffering under, what curses they are suffering under, how the devil has them, and then speaking a word of forgiveness, of love, of hope, of peace into them and into their situation, which is that word of Christ, which actually creates faith, which is the whole point anyway. And once you've created faith in that person, well, the rest is much more quickly to come anyway. As God creates a new heart, renews and creates a right spirit within them, then these other doctrines, as important as they are, begin to fall into place more naturally for these folks anyway.
So with only a few minutes here before our break, Pastor Rohde, one of the biggest misconceptions I've seen in my days in the parish is that Christians think, well, being a witness means registering my moral opinion, whether it be right or wrong, but registering my moral opinion on the issues of the day. And it sounds like what you're saying is that that may certainly lead to some good conversation, but that itself is not Christian witness.
Right. In and of itself, that falls absolutely short. That may be an opportunity. It may be a window in. I mean, why is it that you think that abortion is wrong? Don't just stop at abortion is wrong. Don't just make the argument secularly why it's bad for society, it's bad for people, it's bad for our world. Don't make the argument just on the basis of the Bible or on your spiritual beliefs. Tie that in to the dignity of life, not only as God has created it, but specifically the life of young ones as Jesus himself, the Word became flesh, incarnate in the flesh of a zygote, of a fetus, of a newborn baby, the dignity of life that Jesus bestows. So you lead it naturally into showing God's concern and compassion for the unborn, and you bring Jesus into the conversation in a very natural way that is also a way that leads directly. Why did he take on that flesh? So that he might redeem all flesh and be the Savior of all humankind.
Pastor Jeremy Rohde is our guest. He's pastor of Faithful Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California. He's authored an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Sharing Your Faith Without Being Lame. And when we come back, we'll talk about a few more good pieces of pastoral counsel when it comes to sharing the Christian faith. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, February the 1st. Stay tuned. Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shoplogia.org, shoplogia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shoplogia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shoplogia.org.
We, the saints at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church, wish all lovers of the unshackled art of music unceasing grace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since the beginning, the Church has spoken by her sacred hymns. Now is your chance to contribute to the great voice of the communion of saints throughout history with the St. Ambrose Hymn Writing Contest. Render your contribution to this great corpus of song. For more information, visit clamavi.com. That's C-L-A-M-A-V-I.com.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran schools offer so much: strong values for life,
a balance of academics and spiritual development,
theologically trained teachers,
and learning God's love every day.
There are plenty of reasons to celebrate our Lutheran schools. Here at Concordia Publishing House, we believe that Lutheran schools are the future of our church. Year after year, Lutheran teachers build lifelong Christians for service, so join us as we celebrate National Lutheran Schools Week. Every day from January 27th to February 3rd, CPH will offer a new discount on teaching resources. That's 5 days of savings on gifts, books, and toys perfect for Lutheran classrooms. So visit cph.org to take advantage of these special offers to support your mission. We love our Lutheran schools and pray that you have a blessed National Lutheran Schools Week.
when God sees you, he doesn't see you as that woman who had the abortion or that man who paid for the abortion. He sees you exactly as he sees the Lord Jesus. This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased.
You stop this whole teaching and confessing and believing the Holy Trinity, and you migrate towards more of trying to feel the presence of God rather than gathering into the presence of God, learning to confess the God in which you believe in.
You know, they got a public relations disaster on their hands. I mean, they are trying to portray Islam as benign, as peaceful, as fitting easily into the American separation of religion and state.
Well, Planned Parenthood is five for five. You couldn't have done it better.
Here's a little taste of what's coming up in the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. Four sound bites for you to choose from when you and your votes determine which will be Issues Etc. sound bite of the week in the last half hour of the program. Pastor Jeremy Rohde is our guest. We're talking about sharing the Christian faith. One piece of pastoral counsel you give is to defy the stereotype. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think that it's a realization that most non-Christian people, at least in our country, in our context, see Christians as annoyingly moralistic and likewise then probably a complete hypocrite. It's just a matter of time until it comes out. We, as Lutherans, are in a unique position to defy this stereotype, to say, actually, I'm neither annoyingly moralistic, nor am I a hypocrite. As a Lutheran, I stand up in church every Sunday and confess I, a poor, miserable sinner, that I sin in thought, word, and deed. This gives people a dose of honesty, and it also allows them to see that, hey, wait a minute, this Christian isn't like all the other Christians or like the way that I think Christians are. This Christian is honest. And I think we can't underestimate in this jaded world of spin and opinion and relativism, where people just expect other people to be full of it, to be the one person standing up and saying the honest truth about my own condition, that I am a sinner, that I don't, the good things I want to do, I don't always do, and the evil things I wish I could avoid and that I know are wrong, I still end up doing them. Who will save me from this body of death? That in itself is a witness, because I think that every sinner can at least hear that and understand that, and in some sense, if they're honest, if they're open to it, perceive, you know, that's my story too, and that's a starting point.
That goes very well together with another piece of your pastoral advice, and that is, to put it bluntly, don't be a poser. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, by a poser, and I elsewhere I kind of say, you know, an obnoxious Christian. It's folks that live in a self-created bubble of non-reality, of Christian fiction, and they seem to have this idea of what it means to be a Christian, and they want to impose this idea of Christianity on others. And what this generally equates to is they champion their own morality, or they'll share their testimony, which is usually, you know, I was lost, but now I'm found. I am so found today that I've just really got it together now. I'm pulling it off. And they adopt the American evangelical lingo. God has put this on my heart, or give it up to God, or how's your walk with God? And they forget how helplessly corny, phony, and alien this sounds not only to pagans, to the people they're trying to reach out to, but to other Christians as well. That's what it means, in my mind, to be an obnoxious Christian, a poser. And, you know, folks manifest this in their own unique and special ways. What I think is a key part of how they share the gospel is that as they're sharing the gospel with you, and I've had folks try to evangelize me this way, not knowing that I'm a Christian. And what's immediately apparent to me is they don't care about me at all. They care about winning another soul for Jesus, or getting another notch on their belt, or the other people on the opposite corner of the street. They want another jewel in their crown. They want to fulfill the Great Commission and be obedient to this great law or whatever. But the last thing on earth is that they actually care about me as a human being. It's loveless. It's obnoxious. It's phony. And it's the antithesis of what genuine Christian witness is to be about. We share the gospel because we have compassion on fellow sinners, on fellow beggars. We are motivated out of genuine love for them. And if it's for anything else, for self-gain or for obedience or for a notch in the belt, then we're no longer serving them, we're serving ourselves. And that is not the New Testament paradigm for sharing the gospel.
I want to add one before we get to your final one. I want to know what you think about it. And that is, there often is this kind of, along with the law-oriented way of thinking about evangelism that you've explained so well, a sense of urgency. Like, if I don't do it now, I'll never get another chance. Or if I don't do it now, this person will go to hell. I'm the only Christian they'll ever meet. What do you think about the pastoral advice of basically, you know, don't miss an opportunity, but don't worry about it?
I think that's very true. I mean, we need to realize that God is God and to let God be God. And this whole business about, you know, God needs you and souls are going to hell, and, you know, there's always some statistic quoted, it's arbitrary, 240 million people are going to hell this week or something, you know. And where do you usually hear this stuff? You usually hear this stuff at some conference or convention hall where everyone's sitting around in their Hawaiian shirts planning on the next golf outing the following day. I mean, it's phony. It's garbage. It betrays itself. We need to realize that God is God. We need to realize that the so-called Great Commission is being fulfilled by God. We need to realize that evangelism is His loving invitation to take part in His saving work and what He's doing. We need to realize that as Christians, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And therefore, too, it is Christ who speaks through me His gospel. It is Christ who makes His gospel work when and where He pleases. It is, as He says, He who hears you hears me. We need to realize that it is gospel that Jesus has taken us up into this saving work of His and given us this joy so that our joy too may be full. And we're not to allow the old Adam or some false teacher to lead us down the road of guilt and law and desperation, and thinking that all these people are going to hell and it's my fault because I'm not out there evangelizing right now. That also ends up being a new monasticism, a new slavery, and it betrays then a proper sense of Christian vocation. I mean, it is every bit as God-pleasing a work to be in your home, doing your duties as a husband or wife or mother or father or child. It's every bit as God-pleasing as it is for the evangelist to be on the street corner talking to people about Jesus.
Andy is listening in Kirkwood. Let's get a brief call from him. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Todd. I can give you a concrete example of negativity in Christian witness, if you want to call it that. Our Lutherans in Jewish evangelism have a chapter down in Florida. And last summer, they thought, you know, the Republican convention's going to be at Tampa. Why don't we go out with some tracts and just see who we can talk to on the street? And as it turned out, there was a heavy police presence to keep people from interfering with the convention. So they were a couple of blocks away. There were the police. There were some Ron Paul supporters. There were some anarchists. And there were our LIGE people. And they were enjoying each other's company, having good conversations, when suddenly some very angry, very loud, very obnoxious Christians showed up. And the contrast between what our folks had been doing, which was having conversations with people, and what these loud, annoying Christians were doing, was just the difference between night and day.
Andy,
or day and night, I guess I should say.
Andy, thanks for the example. Let's see what Pastor Rohde has to say.
Well, I agree, and I resonate with that. You know, I think that in a very real sense, we ought to be upset with the phoniness that gets employed in the name of evangelism, with the unloving presentation of God's law and God's gospel. Now, God's law can be preached in its full sternness, and yet in such a way that it is speaking the truth, not demeaning someone or lovelessly trashing them. And I think people can tell the difference between someone who's being dead honest, but dead honest for my good, versus someone who's trying to trash me, run me down, and make me feel like garbage. sometimes we mistake that as the law, when that's not precisely the work of the law. The law is truth. And so the law shows me my sin. And I think many Christians misunderstand that, particularly those Christians who do the rowdy, you know, presentations, or before football games, you hear them on the loudspeaker, you know, yelling at you. I find that to be a detriment to true evangelism.
With only about 30 seconds here, you have emphasized it over and over again that what we have is, in fact, good news. This isn't an invitation to monasticism or a life of servile obedience. This is forgiveness. This is Christ himself. Talk about that with about 30 seconds left.
Absolutely. And what we have is a fact. We have the fact of Jesus' resurrection. We have evidence for this fact that he is risen in his body. We have the Gospels as eyewitnesses. We have over 500 witnesses, the Scriptures tell us. This is a fact that Jesus is risen, that his death on the cross has forgiven you your sins. With these facts, we go into the world proclaiming to fellow sinners, sinners just like us, out of compassion for them, you have a Savior. He is risen. He has included you in his saving work, and he wants you to have part with him in a resurrection of your body and to spend eternity with him in the new heavens and the new earth. As Christians, we have nothing to be embarrassed about as we share the gospel, because this gospel is real. It's every bit as factual as Jesus' own resurrection, and the forgiveness that we proclaim to others is factual, and more than that, it's powerful, because it's that word of Christ that creates faith in others. Now, Jesus has given us all of these things, so again, that we might share in his joy, in the joy of his salvation, and that our joy might also be full.
Pastor Jeremy Rohde is pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Sharing Your Faith Without Being Lame. Jeremy, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks so much, Todd, for having me on again. I appreciate it.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a very, very new announcement that's topping the news today, a new policy announcement by the Obama administration regarding the HHS mandate. Dr. David Stevens of the Christian Medical Association will be our guest. He'll tell us about it, and we'll get his reaction. Stay tuned.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has 3 conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.